All right. Does anybody need a Bible? If you need a Bible, Tim will get you one. Once you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to be doing a topical tonight, and I haven't done a topical message in quite some time. And so it was kind of fun putting it together and laying it out and seeing what the Lord was going to speak through this area tonight. But as you are here, it's rightly been said so often that the problem with life is it's so daily. It's just so daily. A lot of people find their life to be rather mundane and unexciting and rather predictable. One writer declared about his life situation that life was like a merry-go-round without the merry. He just put it that way. See, that's not the way life is meant to be lived, though, for us as believers. It shouldn't be that way for us as believers. I forgot to shut this off. I'm sorry. There we go. For us as believers, life shouldn't be that way. As Paul said here in Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. So if, the word if there could rather be properly translated since. So we could say, since you live in the Spirit, therefore walk in the Spirit. So as we think about this scripture and as we look at it, what does it mean for you and I in a practical way to walk in the Spirit? Well, walking in the Spirit is one of the most exciting, interesting, wonderful ways that we could possibly live, especially as born-again believers. It is the direct opposite of routine, drudgery, and predictability. Walking in the Spirit is completely opposite of those words. I want us to consider three different men out of the scriptures that definitely walked in the Spirit. The first one we want to look at is Paul. So turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts chapter 16. And we want to look a little bit about Paul and why we can say that he walked in the Spirit. And so we come to Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Verse 8 says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Verse 10 says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he was... these doors had closed. He wasn't able to go to these places because they set out here on his second missionary journey that's being written about here, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And as it says here, they headed for Asia. They were heading there in order to check on the churches that he had planted there during his first missionary journey. He wanted to go by and check and see how the churches were doing there in Asia that he'd planted previously. And in verse 6, however, it says that the Spirit suddenly closed the door. It closed the door, preventing them from accomplishing what they had set out to do. Have you ever had that happen to you, where you really felt like the Lord was leading you to something, or you were going into a certain direction, and you just, all of a sudden, it was just like a brick wall in front of you. You just know that, boom. You just hit it, and it's like, well, what's going on? I thought this was the way to go. So the Holy Spirit changing their plans, then they decided to head for Bithynia. But there again, they were forbidden by the Spirit to proceed. He stopped them from going that direction as well. So here we find Paul. At this point, he found himself on the seacoast of Troas. there in that town. In verse 8 says, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. So here he is in Troas. And I can imagine Paul basically walking up and down the beach, questioning, probably even wrestling and wondering, what are you doing, Lord? What are you doing? Why couldn't I go here and now I'm going here and I've ended up here? What's going on? It was kind of probably, these thoughts probably were in his mind, but then suddenly he received this vision from this man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. Come and help us. And so consequently, although the thought of taking the gospel to Europe had probably never ever really occurred to him at that point, Paul and his company set sail across the Aegean to Greece. And then what happened when they get there? When they get there, they met up with a group of women. Look at Acts 16, verse 13. It says, and on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city, but to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke with the women who met there. So a man appears to him in a vision to come and to Macedonia and help them. When he gets there, he meets with a group of women at a prayer meeting. And so evidently there wasn't a male believer to be found. And again, like I say, I think Paul was probably expecting to find a man, this man that he saw in his vision. And instead, he found this group of women. And that's the way it is oftentimes when we walk in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, doors close unexpectedly. Others open miraculously. Because when he closes one door, he usually opens up such a better door than the way that we were going. It's so much better. See, but when we go through those doors, when we go through them, things are rarely what we thought that they would be initially. It just doesn't always work out the way that our understanding thinks about. And so while this Macedonian man does not appear to him right at this time, as the chapter goes on and continues to unfold, I believe he does eventually meet up with this Macedonian man. So who would this Macedonian man be? Well, I believe it's very possible that he was the jailer. He was the jailer who put Paul in stocks before coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus. We see that in Acts 16, verse 30 through 34. He says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. So prison doors were opening. Churches were starting. Miracles abounding. And that's what it means when we walk in the Spirit. We see these kind of miraculous things start to take place. Walking in the Spirit means letting the Holy Spirit close some doors. And when he closes them, don't get upset. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. Don't be depressed. He opens other doors, better doors, much better usually. And so he surprises us at every turn. He surprises. It's just so often that in my walk with the Lord that I've had things planned out. Man, they were really, you know, even things based on the Word of God that I really felt direction in. I felt like this is what would be the best. And all of a sudden, dang, those walls get put up. And as soon as I get tired and done grumbling over the wall, the Lord reveals an open door, a much, much better open door. So we see Paul walking in the Spirit, getting this vision of this man from Macedonia, calling out for help. And we see this jailer and his whole household getting saved as a result of it. So the second person I want to look at is Peter. Turn back a little bit to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And here we're going to find Peter as he's waiting for lunch on the rooftop of Simon the Tanner's house. He's looking over the Mediterranean Sea. Peter saw this vision. He had this vision, this sheet that carrying all sorts of unclean animals that previously had been forbidden for Jews to eat, as this sheet came down from heaven with all these various unclean animals. And this the Lord said to Peter, the law that was given to drive you to Christ has done its job. You're free, Peter. He's saying you're free to eat all of these things. And as we know the scriptures, Peter had kind of a hard time with that. He didn't receive it right away. See, the law was just our teacher. And so Jesus is telling Peter, the law that you kept, the law that you've been following, the law that you've been under was a teacher leading you, directing you to me, is what Jesus was saying. And so taken back by this, Peter, then he heads downstairs to meet three men, just as the Spirit promised. And look at Acts chapter 10, look in verse 19. It says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Three men are there. Go on downstairs. Get off the roof. Go downstairs. There's going to be these men. And so after he got down there, he accompanied these three men to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And Peter preached the word to Cornelius, and his entire household was radically converted. Another household that was converted over. Now, I imagine that when Peter first arrived at Simon the Tanner's house, the last thing probably he was dreaming about doing was preaching to a family of Gentiles. That probably wasn't on his to-do list, because at this point, Peter was still thinking, you know, and looking at the Jewish community and how he's going to minister to them. But like Paul, just like Paul, Peter walked in the Spirit. He was led to people and places beyond his wildest expectations. The Lord leads us to people so often, and we miss it. We're not open to that Spirit working in our lives. So often we miss that opportunity. That when we're wherever we at, the people that we come in contact with, it's so easy to miss an opportunity and not take up and preach that word to them. Peter could have said, when those three guys said, we're going to this Gentile's house, he could have said, oh, what am I going to have to do with a Gentile? But no, he was led by the Spirit. He was walking in the Spirit because he was living in the Spirit. As Galatians 5:25 says, since we live in the Spirit, so we should walk in the Spirit. And so Peter went, and he was obedient to do what the Spirit was leading him to do. And a whole household of Gentiles was saved. And that ended up, of course, bringing others to salvation as well within that area. And the third person I want to look at is Philip. Turn to Acts chapter 8. So pages over. Acts chapter 8. And here we see in this chapter, we see an entire city of Samaria responding to the ministry of Philip. Philip was there evangelizing, and there was a revival taking place there in that city of Samaria. Joy filled the entire community. However, suddenly, all of a sudden, the Lord said to Philip, look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The Lord says to him, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Arise and go. Revival was happening. Miracles were taking place. The community was full of joy. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, said, go. Go to the desert. Go to here. And because Philip walked in the Spirit, Philip went, most likely not understanding why. Not even really knowing why, but when he reached Gaza, the Spirit prompted him to talk to a certain political leader from Ethiopia. This leader was there returning from Jerusalem. He'd just been to Jerusalem and he's returning. He was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Returning and he's reading Isaiah. And so what did Philip do? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 30. It says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you're reading? See, that's the issue we have with a lot of people is a lot of times people will maybe go to church, maybe they'll start reading the Bible, but they don't really have an understanding in it because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. And so Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And so he didn't, and so he shared the gospel. He explained the Messiah from Isaiah. From Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the Messiah that was being talked about, he was able to express and explain that the Messiah had came. It was Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he was able to explain the good news that there is a Savior and that our sins can be forgiven as we receive Jesus as our Lord. And so after he received the gospel, the Ethiopian asked to be baptized, and immediately the request to which Philip, he complied eagerly. He went and baptized him at that moment. How I want to be more like Philip. To be more like him. When the Lord places an impression on my heart or puts a thought in my mind, I want to respond in the way that he did. Not begrudgingly, not reluctantly, oh, I guess I'll go do that. But not that way, but another run. Run to that place, run to that person that God has put on my heart. The Spirit said, go to the desert. Go to the desert. How many people does that sound real exciting to? I mean, we live in the desert. We understand how hot it is and how hot it can be. Watch out next week. I guess it's going to be hotter than last weekend. Pray for my air conditioner. So Philip went. And he went and he talked and he shared this and he brought this Ethiopian leader to the Lord. And it's amazing. And the ramifications of that conversion are still happening today as the good news of salvation continues to shine forth in Africa. The work that started that day is continuing on even to today. And so as we look at Paul, he was called to Macedonia. We see Peter going into the house of Cornelius. We see Philip was called to the desert. You will see that each man, they walked in the Spirit. They were allowed the Holy Spirit that was living in them to be able to lead and guide them. And they didn't do it begrudgingly. They didn't say, but Lord, I got a better plan. Are you sure? Don't you think I should go do this instead of that? I mean, Hawaii sounds a lot better than the desert. I mean, you know, you could just send me there, Lord. You know, they walked in the Spirit. And so perhaps as you're hearing this, you're maybe thinking, I'd like to walk in the Spirit like that, but I don't have visions of men from Macedonia. I don't see sheets dropping down from heaven. I don't hear a voice telling me to go to Gaza. Well, you see, because we all agree with the theory that life should be exciting, it should be meaningful, impacting, and Spirit-led. But how do we get to that place practically? See, it sounds very good. You know, you can say it and you can read some scriptures and you think about it, and it sounds very very exciting to that point, but we need to be practical about it. What are some of the steps that we can take that we can know that we're walking in the Spirit? Well, I think there's three major ways. The first one is request or ask. Jesus gave us the key to walking in the Spirit. Very first thing, and he says it, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 11:9, he said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now those three words, ask, seek, and knock. In the Greek, they're all translated, and they all are in the perfect tense. Each of those three words, ask, seek, and knock, they're in the perfect tense. So what does that mean? Well, it means we are to have a continual asking. We are continually seeking, continually knocking. It's not something we do once a week at church or once a year on a retreat somewhere. It's what we should do every day. Ask, seek, and knock. Continually asking, continually seeking, continually knocking. Asking of those things. You know, be able to say, you know, it's what we do every day, every moment, as much as we can. And as where we say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. I want to be used by you. Give me sensitivity to your spirit. To wake up in the morning and pray that kind of prayer. Lord, help me be led by your spirit today. Give me sensitivity to your spirit. I'm asking of you before I start out my day. Praying, asking, open my eyes to the opportunities that you put in front of me to be able to share your love. And when you go to that check stand and the checker gives you a receipt, see if the Lord is saying, tell her Jesus loves her, or tell him Jesus loves him, whichever it may be. Take advantage and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to take advantage of that moment. Open my eyes to the opportunities of those that you put in front of me to share your love. We don't have to know a bunch of scripture to evangelize. We don't have to know a lot of theology to evangelize. We just have to know that God loves us and God loves them. That he paid the ultimate price to be able to bring us to salvation. And so the first step is request. Ask of him. The next thing that I think we need to do is relax. Just relax. If the first step to walking in the Spirit is to request, I believe the second one is to relax. To be able to relax. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Way back in the back of the Old Testament there. 1 Samuel chapter 9. And in this chapter, we see Saul looking for his father's donkeys. And he was unable to find them of the livestock that was lost of his father. So Saul was just about ready to return to his father empty-handed. He'd been out searching and searching. He couldn't find these donkeys anywhere. He was headed back empty-handed when all of a sudden he heard about a man of God who could probably help him. And so he made his way to the prophet Samuel's house. Saul inquired of him concerning the lost herd. And so Samuel said his answer to him, don't be anxious about them. Don't be anxious about the donkeys. Come to my table. Samuel says there's a far bigger issue at hand here. And he's basically about to say, you're about to be made king of Israel. So look at 1 Samuel 9, verse 19. Samuel answered Saul and said, I am a seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? So Samuel's basically telling Saul that he's going to be king. Why are you worried about these donkeys? You got a kingdom that you're going to be running. But so often we're just like Saul. We're so easy. Many of us are searching high and low for lost donkeys. Lost donkeys in our life, desiring to come to our Father with something of substance in our lives. But we nonetheless wander aimlessly and often return empty-handed without anything of any substance for the Lord. We struggle with a job. We struggle with a house. We struggle with a career, a relationship. And yet, as important as these things are, They're only donkeys. They're only donkeys in comparison to the bigger issue, in comparison to the kingdom that lays before us. The Lord calls us to significant service. He was calling Saul to be king. He just had to relax a little bit and not be so consumed with the donkeys in his life. We need to be relaxed and be anxious for nothing. We're called to touch people's lives. We're called to make an impact in this world. So he says to us, do not be anxious about those things. Don't be anxious about where's your next meal coming from, where you're going to have your clothes, when you're going to do these things. I know right where they are, the Lord says. Instead, come to my table and fellowship with me. Come and have that fellowship. I think of Martha and Mary. And it shows in their story what's really important to Jesus. And most of us, you know the story in Luke 10. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. And so there's that place of being that Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, saying, Lord, I got all these things that I got to deal with. I got bills. I got family. I got all of these different things. And instead of being so consumed about them, we need to relax and know that God is in control. He's in charge of all those things. He will get us through. We just have to relax. We have to ask of him to be led by the Spirit, then to be able to relax enough to be able to allow him room to do it. Usually we're so busy doing the things, trying to take care of the lost donkeys, that we don't give him room to allow the Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done, or we don't hear from the Holy Spirit because we're so consumed looking for the donkeys. So we need to ask or request. We need to relax. The third thing I believe we need to do is receive. We need to receive. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 10 in verse 1. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you, commander over his inheritance? Is it not because the Lord has commanded you as overseer, commander? So he anointed Saul king. He had put that oil on him and anointed him. And so lastly, he told Saul, after he anointed him, after he shared that he was going to be king of Israel, the next thing he does is Samuel tells Saul where to find his father's donkeys. After all that, look at 1 Samuel 10, verse 2. He says, when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zephzelah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? So his father no longer was concerned about the donkeys. Now he's worried about Saul out there looking for them. What happened to him? And that's what happens. Sometimes we get so diverted by the world and the world system that we forget that our father's already taken care of it and he's showing us. And so we come to that place where we receive his blessings. So do you want to walk in the Spirit? Do what Saul did. Do exactly what Saul did. Forget the donkeys. Forget those things. Set aside your own agenda and commune with the Lord at his table. Come into that place, and he says to study to show yourself approved as a workman rightly able to divide the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. Receive those blessings. No, you can't know what his blessings are if you haven't studied and read to what they are. He may be giving you blessings and you don't even realize that they're from him because you're not in the word enough. We need to spend time chewing on his word. staying in the Word and allowing the Word to be in us. Abide in Him and my Word abide in you. He says, ask anything you want and it will be given unto you. Stand still in His presence. Stand still in His presence. Receive His anointing. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Where it says, stand still and know that I am God, is the word is cease striving. And it means to stop warlike activities. And you may think, well, I don't have any warlike activities. Well, most of us do. Most of us are having this battle between the flesh and our spirit. And so often it's easier to give into the flesh than into the spirit. But since we live in the spirit, so also we should walk in the spirit. So like Saul, if we just be still and know that he's God, then we can receive those blessings and we'll be told where to find those lost donkeys. We'll be provided for. Whatever things that you may be worried about, whatever those donkeys were that were consuming your thoughts and your energies and your direction, we'll be told by the Lord where to find those donkeys. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Usually we're trying to seek our own righteousness, but we don't have any. We need to be able to turn these things over to him. And there in Matthew 6, where he says, this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he just went through saying, look at the birds of the air. They don't work or toil, and the Lord feeds them. Look at the flowers of the field. Look at how beautiful they are. They're more beautiful than all the splendor of Solomon in his temple. And yet they don't labor or strive. He says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. So there's nothing for us to be anxious about. We can request of him, we can rest in him, and then receive. Receive what the direction, the guidance, and the blessings that he has for us. It's just really that simple. And I think that's the problem that we have with it. We are a complicated people. Excuse me. And we like to kind of complicate things. But in the morning hours, seek him. During the day, seek him. Wednesday night, Sunday evening, seek him. Sunday morning, all throughout the days, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And when you do, not only will you be anointed by the Spirit with significant opportunities, you'll find all sorts of opportunities you never would. They'll be opening up before you. Doors will be opening. Opportunities and situations will happen that you would never have expected. So, like Saul, you'll find what you're looking for all along when you seek first his kingdom, when you ask of him. Find that rest in him and then receive all the blessings, all the things that he has waiting for you, walking in the Spirit. Since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so we see Paul, Peter, and Philip. They all were able to allow the Spirit of God to send them to places that they weren't expecting to go. They all were doing things that they didn't expect to do. What is God calling you to do that you're not expecting? What surprise door is he opening up for you that you just need to step through that door and to be able to know that he will take care of all the details? He's faithful. It says in the Bible, it says, he is faithful who calls you and he will do it. One translation says, he will bring it to pass. We can't do these things on our own. We have to rely on the Spirit. We have to rely on that Holy Spirit in us. And we have to start out by asking him. Asking him in our start our day. How many times do we get up, get going through our day, and all of a sudden all these problems start happening and we go, oh Lord, why is this happening? Did we pray before we even get out of bed? Did you pray and just ask the Lord, God, direct my day to day? Have my lips speak your truth. Have my eyes see those opportunities. Allow my ears to be able to hear direction from the Holy Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, those things happen. And I guarantee your life will never be boring. It will never be routine. It will never be a drudgery. Life in the Spirit is such an awesome thing. And so tonight, as we look at these three men, as we look at these three different steps that we can take, that's a promise available for each and every one of us that is available for us now. So kind of a short message this evening, but let's pray. Father, I thank you for this message, though I thank you for your word that shows us that as we live in the Spirit, that we can also walk in the Spirit. And I pray for each and every one of us here, anybody that may be listening at home. Lord, I pray that if you are experiencing a dull, dundrum life, if you feel like life is boring and it's just routine and there's just nothing new under the sun for you, I pray that you would just allow yourself to be baptized in the Holy Spirit right now. Just open up your heart and your life to him and just say, Lord, come in and fill me to overflowing. Submerge me totally in the Spirit of your loving life, Lord, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection, that I may be able to truly walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, Lord, we all just repent of looking for lost donkeys. We repent of being anxious and stressed out about so many things. Help us to be as Mary, to learn to sit at your feet and to be still and know that you're God. To be still and know that you are able to take care of any situation, any circumstance that we may be struggling with. So I just pray for your Spirit just to descend upon each and every one of us, Lord, that we would truly walk in your Spirit from this point forward. And so just while we just look to you now, we thank you for your love and your grace. Be with us as we go out now and just lead and guide us as we trust in you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.